Okay. The Mishnah says, Matzilin Sal Malay Kikarot Afal Pishyesh Bo Mea Sudot. So you're allowed to save from burning house a big basket with 100 meals in it, even up to 100 meals, or beyond 100 meals. The Eagle Shel Devela, and an entire round of dried figs, even though obviously it's more than just your daily meals, like you had in the last Mishnah. The Chavi Chilayin, and a whole barrel of wine. And you could also tell other people they could come and they could save food for themselves. If they're wise or intelligent, we'll see exactly what they're wise about. Right now it looks like they're wise about financial issues. So they could give you the food and you could pay them for the work they did on Shabbat. And we'll see exactly how that plays out a little bit later, because not quite as easy, as simple as it seems. The Mishnah then goes on and says, so where do they say it? Where are you allowed to take the stuff out of when you take it out of the burning house? So one opinion is, L'chatzer hamu rebbe. You can only take it out to a chatzer that has an eruv around it. Ben p'tero mer af l'shenem rebbe. Even if it's not, even though there's no eruv chatzerot, that is. We're talking here about an eruv chatzerot, because this is the yard, kind of the central courtyard for all the houses. Even if there was no eruv chatzerot, you could still take it outside. Because I think the issue is only drabanan. So therefore, for the case of saving the food, you're allowed to do it, I think. And not only that, you can take out your clothes. The loves kol shemasha yachol uvosh votev kol masha yachol la tov. And according to this opinion, you're allowed to wear as much as you can wear, and you can put on, you know, you can essentially throw in as much clothes as you could possibly get on you to save as many clothes as possible. Rav Yossi Omer, no, Yudchet Kalim. There are 18 clothes that you can wear. And then the Gemara, I think, will explain that actually it was sort of like you could wear in one shot reasonably. So we'll see, like a scarf, sock, shoe, that type of thing. The Chozer of Elovesh Motzi, and you're allowed to go back in and back in and back in and back. And while you're going back and forth, that is, you go, you take your clothes, you go out, you take your clothes off, you run back in, you get some more clothes you put on, then you take them out, etc., etc. And you tell other people you can come and save with me. Now that obviously is not, even though it looks like it, it's not Rav Yossi's opinion, because Rav Yossi only said 18. So this goes back to the opinion actually of the first Tana, who says that you could get as much clothes on your body as you want, and not only that, but you could go back in, back and forth, back and forth. It looks like the second opinion is Rav Yossi's. It looks like Rav Yossi is saying you can wear 18 clothes at a time, take them off, and then go back and get another 18 clothes. But it's going to turn out in the Gemara that's not the way it is. That
why
is
that you can't take the clothes on your arm and take it out?
What's that say again?
The food you took with you.
In
that.
One shot.
Why can't you take the clothes with you?
Because the idea is, why can't you take, you mean like in a big basket or something?
Hangers. I mean, you take 20 hangers and walk out, and why do you have to?
Because I think
that
the idea, based on the previous mission, is that theoretically you're only allowed to take out what you specifically need for Shabbat. Or technically,
okay,
you can. So the question is, what about the 100 meals? So we're going to see that's only because it's in one big thing. But since you're not wearing the clothes, you can't argue that you need those clothes on Shabbat because you're not wearing them. You're wearing other clothes.
I see what I mean. It's like a big pot of food, you only need a bowl of soup. Okay.
I think so. There may be some other issues that we'll see as the Gemara comes up, but I'm not sure exactly how to answer the question. The Gemara says, V'hatana le'reisha gimel su'dot v'tulo. But wait a second, in the previous mission we just said you could take out three meals, that's all you could take out. You did that, right? I missed that. That was one of my missing six pages. So Amar Rav Huna, lo kasha kam bivala hatziyah, v'kam bivala ha'ala kapel. Here you're saving everything in one shot. You just pick the whole thing up, 100 things, and you walk right out. Kan bivala kapel. In the previous mission, that was talking about where you're taking one, where let's say you had a bunch of pots. Picture each pot has some food in it, and your kapel means you're piling one pot on top of another pot. So if everything is one, so bala hatzil matzil kulan. Since you're saving everything at one time, you can take everything out. But bala kapel in kapel el mazon gimel sudot. But if you're piling one thing on top of the other, then you can't. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to stack more than your day's worth. I think that may have to do with the clothes, by the way, as well. That is, because the clothes aren't on you, so that would be sort of like a bala kapel, because you're sort of piling one thing on top of the other. Well, it's in pieces, that's the problem, as opposed to the sal, which really you got a big sal with a pot of food in it, and you can take that out.
It's like, a big pot of rice or soup, it's more than 3 meals.
I would say maybe it would be closer if you had like a wardrobe thing, where you had all your clothes and you could just roll the thing out or something, so maybe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to go that way. It's only saying that if you're wearing it, as far as clothes go. Rav Avi bar Zabda Amar Idi Vaidi Bivala Kapel. No. Both of them are cases where you're piling one on top of the other. When it comes to your own chatzer, you can take out as much as you want. I assume because there's no issur of hotzah, really, from a specific sense. But so then you're only allowed to take out three meals. Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question. By Rav Huna, that's going to not going to be on Rav Avi bar Zabda's opinion. It's going to be on Rav Huna's opinion. So my guess is that since we're asking a question on this, Rav Huna's opinion is superior, which is you're allowed to, if you're taking out everything in one shot, you can take out as much as you want, food-wise. If you're taking not one shot, but if you're taking one basket, then that basket could have as much food as you want, as opposed to if you have a lot of little baskets, then you're not allowed to, which is the previous mission.
How do you go to somebody else's chaser? You go through
Bushido. Oh, I don't know. You can't go through Bushido Rabin. I don't know. Maybe because you're taking it to another chater because you're worried about yours that it's burning, so you go from your chater to somebody else's chater. What?
I thought the idea was that it was a courtyard and there were houses around it.
Right.
And then there's an opening in Zoom.
So this must be talking about a case.
From this courtyard where it goes into Bushido Rabin and then it's in the chater here.
Well, you can't carry it through Shuna Rabin.
Right. So, how do I go from this chaser into this chaser? If all of it is connected...
Yeah, I don't know. Hold on a second.
Then...
Maybe it means that... maybe it means one is in a case where there's an error, another is a case where there's no error. So that doesn't sound exactly right to me. Hold on, let me look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't say anything. I don't know.
Maybe it comes up
on. I don't know how the other chatzer is configured.
Mm.
Maybe it's each person, instead of being built around a central house, they're built around, I don't know.
I mean, the question is, how does the chatzer connect to another chatzer? I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, there's no other way.
I would think you have to walk out through your chatzer and then put it in somebody else's chatzer.
Right.
But there must be a connection. But I guess
right.
They're not a shared courtyard. I guess it's everybody has
right.
his own chatzer, and each chatzer touches on the perimeter of everybody else's chatzer. That is, you have four houses, let's say, here. Each one has a chatzer, and they all meet. That is, the face of my chatzer meets the face of your chatzer.
Right. All of these houses share one chatzer.
Yeah, I don't think in the second case that that's true. I think in the second case,
you're
each person has its own private chatzer,
like,
and you're taking it. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We could take a look at the Gemara. Tell you what, we'll come back to it, and we'll look if there's look in the art scroll, and maybe they have a picture of this.
Right.
But otherwise, I would assume more like a backyard situation, where each one has his own private chatzer, and you're going from one chatzer to another chatzer. Okay, where were we? So Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yehoshua, is going to ask a question on Rav Huna's opinion. Different Rav Huna. So Pires Talitol V'Kipel V'Hiniach V'Kipel V'Hiniach Mai. So what happens if you laid out your talit flat, and then you come and you bring some food, you dump in your talit, and then you go back and get some more food and you dump that in your talit, and then go back and put more in your talit, sort of like a big suitcase, if you will. So kivala hatzil dami or kivala kapel dami, is that like one big thing where you take as much as you want, or since you're going back and forth and taking little things and put it in the big thing, should that be considered like kapel, and then you can only bring out three? So the Gemara answers me, the Amar Rava Atye. Now here's an interesting situation. The Amar Rava, Rava says Atye Rav Shizbi the Rav Chizda Vidarash. Rav Shizbi taught the wrong thing to Rav Chizda. So we're going to see is that whatever he taught is the opposite of what we're going to say. So Vidarash, and he learned the following, quote, Bilvad Shalo Yavi Kli Shehu Machzik Yoter Migimel Sudot. You're allowed to bring out a pot of food as long as a basket of food, as long as it doesn't have more than three. The assumption is not a basket, but a talit. Shma Mina Kivala Hatzil Dami the Shapar Dami. Since this guy is known to be wrong, Rav Shizbi is wrong, and he said you're limited to 3 sudot, it must be there is no limit of 3 sudot. You could have 100 sudot. And if that's true, that is, if the opposite of what he said is true, then it's kivala hatzil, not kivala kapel, which means you could you could go back and forth and fill up your talit as much as you want, as long as you get as long as in the end you take out your talit and mass with all of the things in it. The Gemara then says, "Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Maita Uta." So Rav Nachman says, Rav Nachman Bar Rav Nisla says to Rava, "How do you know Rav Shizbi made a mistake? I mean, maybe he's right. What makes you so confident that he's wrong?" So Amalei the Katani, because we learned in the same area, I suppose, Bavad Shlo Yavi Kli Acher, which means he says, as long as you don't bring more than 3, and you don't bring another kli, v'yiklod kli acher v'yitzov, and you absorb another kli, and you add it to the first kli. So kli acher hu delo. It's only if you have a second kli that it's asher. Aval b'ahu mana kama debayi matzah. You could save as much as you want. That is, if really the din was that it was only 3 and no more than 3, then they wouldn't have said the second thing, which was, and make sure that you don't add another separate kli into the first kli. No. If the only problem is the second kli on top of the first kli, then obviously if you only have one kli, I could stuff into it a talit, let's say. I could stuff into it as much as I want. So therefore, Rav Shizbi taught to Rav Chisda must be wrong. And one of the things he taught to him that must be wrong was the fact that you're only allowed to bring out 3 things in one talit, or one kli. So the answer is it must be wrong. If you have one talit, you can dump as much as you want into it, as long as you're taking it out en masse, like Santa Claus, so to speak. Yeah, it's a bad image, huh? So the eagle shall... So the Gemara asked a question. So that's it. That's it. The eagle shall develo. What about a big round of dried figs? The Gemara says, v'cheshwan ma'avidatein, mafkiri kazachu. What kind of... It says that if they're smart, you can make a deal with them for the work that they did for you. You pay them back for the work. What kind of paying back for the work? It's their food. That is, anybody, a burning house, all the stuff in a burning house is considered hefker. Mafkiri kazachu. As soon as they pick something up in a burning house, it's theirs. It almost gives justification of looting to a certain degree. If your house is on fire and the assumption is that you can't take the stuff out yourself, then whoever could save it, because otherwise it would be nothing. Otherwise it would be all burnt up. It's an interesting idea, right? Well, you know...
That's my idea. Then what you're saying is looting.
Well, no, because in looting, you might want to say that it's not burning to be destroyed. As soon as the water subsides,
right,
then you'll be okay. Here, it's actually
right,
going to be burned up.
Yeah, they're showing on TV. The water's going
to
go in.
Oh, so that's maybe an issue. It could be that the water's going to come up and flood it and ruin it anyway. It could be a looter who was right, because otherwise you'd have a bunch of washed-out television. So why shouldn't I save the television and take it for myself? Halakhically, that may, in fact, be correct. There's another situation. You know, $20 flies out of somebody's pocket in a hurricane, and you reach up and you grab the money. I never would have caught it, you know, if it's gone. I mean, I guess you could always argue, in this case, you could be sure the guy can't catch it because he can't get it out of his house. It's going to burn. There, you could say, now he could have ran after it. But let's say, you know, the case where he really couldn't have. So it's your money. It's yours because I, you know, hafkeir kazachu, which is weird. I'm not sure that would, you know, satisfy kind of modern American philosophy, but there it is.
Well,
Amar Chistas, what's that?
It's in terms of personality. I mean,
well, that Gemara is going to get to that. Yeah, the Gemara is not going to say that this is the right thing to do. It's just
right,
saying that theoretically, the stuff has to be treated, you know, from a conceptual standpoint, as if it
right,
doesn't belong to the owner anymore, because it wouldn't have survived.
True,
anymore.
True. I mean,
yeah. So the Gemara then says, "Amar Rav Chisda Mida Chassid or something." We're talking about a Chassid who does the right thing. The Gemara says, "How can we talk about a Chassid? Amar Rav Chassidi Agra the Shabbat." If you're talking about a Chassid, you know, Chassid is like a level, you know, above Tzaddik. So if you're talking about a chassid, he's not going to take money for the Shabbat work anyway. So it can't be that we're talking about a chassid. Elamar Rabba B'yarei Shemayim Maskin. We're not talking about a chassid. We're talking about your standard from God. Why? V'lo nichalei de'lithinu me'achirim. So he's not going to take something that used to belong to somebody else, even though theoretically, technically it is. On the other hand, b'chinu nami lo nichalei l'chof. On the other hand, he's not going to knock himself out. You know, he's not going to do nothing for nothing.
Right.
If he, you know, he brings back your wallet, he wants a $20 reward. I mean, you know, that's just one of the things. So there's you know, a level between somebody doesn't care and between a chassid, and that's what we have here. V'hachi kamarim, how you? So what is the guy smart about? It's not whether he's smart about finances. He's a yarei shemayim. V'hachi kamar. Im ha'yupichim diyadeg chai gav v'lav schar shabbat hu osin limo. If the guy is smart enough to know that he's not working on Shabbat, because if he wasn't a Yirei Shamayim, he would think, wow, I'm doing work for this guy in Shabbat, I'm going to make some money. Then you can't give him money. Why can't you give him money? Because the guy thinks he's working on Shabbat. But if you have a guy who's a Yirei Shamayim, how is he going to pay you if he's working on Shabbat? Because he knows that it's not really, you're not really paying him for Shabbat. Because the truth is, he's doing you a favor. It's not real work. It's pure chesed. I guess conceptually, you're really paying him for, you know, after Shabbat for the general kindness that you're absorbing after Shabbat, really. Yeah, it's not worked on Shabbat because you didn't have to do it anyway. It was your stuff. So therefore, since he knows that it's not really money on Shabbat, so therefore, Shabbat. So after Shabbat, say, listen, I'd like to pay you a little bit for the work that you couldn't have expected anything because you weren't working on Shabbat, but I'd like to give you, but I know you'd like it, I'd like to give it to you anyway. So anyway, lehechon matzilin. So where do you save it to? So Gemara says, ma'ishna hacha dekati lachem, u'ma'ishna hacha dekatani imi. By the case of food, if you look back in the Mishnah, it said, go and save for you the food. It says, bo lahatzi lachem, go get your own food. As if you're really giving it up on it right away.
Right.
By the case of clothes, it says, omer lachem, bo lahatzi lachem, save with me. Perhaps even for me, really, is the connotation. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amri, I'll tell you like this. Gabi mizono k'tani lachem, mishum delo kachaz, u'ele mazon gimel suda. When it came to food, it's really only good for 3 days, you know, for 3 meals. You really couldn't bring out anymore. Because by clothes, theoretically, I could change as many times as I want on Shabbat. The question could be by Rabbi Yossi, how come he says only 18 clothes? Because theoretically, maybe the Tanakhama makes a little more sense. Tanakhama says you're allowed to go back in and change more clothes and go and change clothes. Why? Because as long as you're demonstrating that you're using it, you're fine. And the truth is, I could change my clothes 10 times on Shabbat. You know, people do change their clothes on Shabbat. So therefore, since you really have an expectation that the clothes are going to be for you, you're really going to tell the people up front, this food, you know, don't think, you know, I'm wearing it. It's for me. I don't know what the din would actually be that it wasn't mafkir, because the truth is, if we possibly like the Tanakhama, the guy could run in and run out, then really the stuff is not mafkir, like the food was mafkir, because the food, you can't eat more than 3 meals. The truth is, you could probably pack away a little extra, but by and large, let's assume 3 large meals, you're not going to be eating the rest until Motzei Shabbat anyway.
Yeah, but also notice what kind of food you're talking, telling you that.
Are you talking about why, because it's perishable? I think there may be an issue there also, although tomorrow will not be perishable, actually.
Right, exactly, that's why you can take a lot of it with you.
Why?
Because they don't go bad. You know, they last much longer, you know, in terms of meals.
And therefore you know you're going to be having them after Shabbat, as opposed to a meal that you know you have to have it now.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, if you bring more than 3 meals, it's going to get spoiled.
Right.
So why bother, you know, but here, tomorrow, they will last a long time.
Right, although then you could argue that tomorrow should be sort of like clothes. No, that makes no sense. No, it's not right. No, scratch that. It's a bad idea. All right. Gemara goes on. Tana Rabbana Motzi Ufoshet. The choser of a lovish and motzi foshi, you go out, you get dressed, undressed, you go in, you run back and forth into the burning house. You're constantly putting on new clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the guy running in on his shorts and then coming out in his suit and running in on his shorts and coming out in his suit back and forth. So people call you a young koi. You spend the whole day doing that. So different Rebbe Meir. I guess I was thinking, you know, how the guy, the house is burning down, how much chance
right.
you have.
Yeah.
But you know, it could be like, well, I don't know if you ever see those pictures of Hawaii where the lava is coming and the house is like burning down slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a case of that, actually, where the issue is not so much burning, it's smoldering. So different Rebbe Meir, right? That's what Rebbe Meir says. Rebbe Yossi Omer Shmona Sarkelim. Only 18. The Elohim Shmona Sarkelim. I'm just going to read them because I'm not sure what they all are. But remember, Rashi has in there's various translations, but I'll just go through them. So it's Makturin, Unkli, Punda, Kalbushel, Pishtan, Chaluk, Chaluk's shirt, Va'afilut, I don't know what that is, Umaforet, Ushnei, Sifrakim, Vishteimin Alim, those are your shoes, Vishteyan Filaot, Ubet Pargad, I could probably like socks or gloves, Vichagor is a belt, Shivamatnav, that's, you know, your belt, the Kova Shabarosho, and a hat on your head, the Sudar Shabarosho, and a nice, like a tie, a necktie for your neck. I'm not sure, various clothes items. I think the first one Rashi says is a mantle, which is like this cloak, and the other one is like a broad cloak, but I don't know, if you're curious, you can look it up, although Rashi is French here, so you have to get one of those books that has translations of the old French to see what they really are. Do you mind if we go ahead? So Matznitha, new Mishnah, Rav Shimon ben Nanas, I always loved him. I remember being a little kid, I remember loving bananas. Yeah. 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 So you also learned, have you ever seen bananas before?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things as a kid, it kind of sticks with you. So Rav Shimon ben Nanas Omer, Porsin or shel gdi al gabi shida tevo migdal. So if you have a burning shida or a teva, an ark, aron or something, or a migdal or some kind of edifice, she'achas behemet the or, that the fire is caught on. So essentially, you're allowed to throw a goat skin over the fire. Why? Because neishu mecharech, it doesn't catch fire. All it does is get scorched. Yeah, well, mecharech actually lecharech means to get scorched, but it never catches on fire.
The skin.
So it will suffocate it, but it will suffocate it without burning. So osin mechitza b'chol, and the idea, by the way, is that you're not putting it out right away. We'll see. The issue here is that you're not putting it out right away. You're not dousing it with water. It'll go out eventually because you're taking away the oxygen from the fire. But that's an indirect kibbutz, and that's really going to be the issue that we're going to get into this Gemara. What if you do something that's indirect? Then he says, I've got another one. V'osim mechitza b'chol akelim ben melein ben rikani b'shul shalot ta'avor adleika. You'll have to make a firewall. You'll have to lay kelim and essentially run them along the firewall so to keep the fire from jumping on, whether they are empty or whether they are full. Why? The idea is that they're full of water, and we'll see that if they break, they'll actually, the water will come out and it'll put out the fire.
You're cooking the water.
What's that?
You're cooking the water. You're boiling. You're gonna boil.
Oh, that's true. But I guess they figure that the cracking will happen before you cook the water. That's a good point also. So Rabbi Yosef Oser, the kli cheres chadashim leim mayim. So Rabbi Yosef agrees in every case except for a kli cheres, earthenware, that has water in it. Why? Because it really can't handle the fire. And it's going to crack, and the water will come out and put it out. So Rav Shimon ben Anas is not interested in that, but Rav Yossi apparently says that you can't do something where you know for sure, I don't know if you know for sure, but you're pretty sure that it's going to cause the water to come out and put out the fire directly. So, or not exactly directly, but you know what the indirect results will be. So the Gemara says
indirectly you can do that.
What?
I thought indirectly.
He's disagreeing with Rav Shimon ben Anas. That's exactly the point. According to Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon ben Anas, you can indirectly do it. I could put a big thing of water,
right,
and it'll crack by itself, and it'll put out the fire. It's not my problem. The Tana Kama says, listen, I'll agree with you, but not in the case where there's water in this thing, because the water's going to come out and put it out, and indirect is not okay. It's exactly the machloket. According to Rav Yossi, indirect is not okay. Indirect is asa. And according to Rav Shimon ben Anas, indirect is mutter. That's exactly the machloket which is coming up. That's the crux of it. Some Rabbi Yehuda, and by the way, the question comes up today in all kinds of issues, like if I have an air conditioner on, so if the air conditioner is off, could I then raise the temperature of the air conditioner, delaying the time that it'll go on, or vice versa? Let's say the air conditioner is on, can I move it even colder, even though all I'm doing is extending the fact that it's already on? Could I open up a refrigerator if it's going to cause the engine to go off? So that's part of these things that are here for discussion. The one that it gets into, by the way, is a famous one about whether you can put a, if you have a Shabbat candle by the door, you have to open up the door or window. We could put out the fire.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Tali Ch'achas Ha'or Mitzad Echad, Notim Alav Mayim Mitzad Acher, V'im Kivta Kivta. So let's say you've got fire smoldering on one side of a tali. What you do is take the side of the tali that doesn't have fire on it, you douse it with water, and then the fire won't be able to cross that water line. It'll get put out. So that's an indirect put out.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara says, once a maitve, tali sha'achas ba'or mitzad echad, if fire is on one side of a tali, pshuta mitkasebo. You're allowed to spread it out, right? Because if it's folded up, all the fire is going to catch on fire. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say there's one little corner that's caught on fire. So what you do is you spread it out so the fire is only on that corner. And then you wear it, which sounds a little crazy, but there it is. So I guess not actually on fire, it's just smoldering. And then eventually the smolder will burn itself out, but you've saved the rest of it by using the tallit.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just uncover it by itself, because then you know that you're just avoiding the fire. But if you want to put on the tallit, and that de facto keeps the fire from spreading, that's perfectly okay. The kivta kivta, the chayim, the sefer Torah, what if you have a sefer Torah that caught on fire a little? So achaz ba'or. So post over karibo. So what you do is you spread it out and you read from it, and then the little part goes out by itself and kivta kivta. What's the question? The question is, these cases are okay because you naturally spread things out and let the thing go out by itself. But in the case of the tali, you put the water on the tali. You actually did something to make the fire go out. That's different than just removing potential areas from an existing fire. That's different. It's levels. It's not that they're not both indirect. In a sense, they're both indirect, but one's much more indirect than the other one. So the Gemara says, "No. What are you worried about? Had Amakar Shem Bananas. The opinion that says you're allowed to put the water on the second part of the talit, which is a much more direct, indirect action, that's like Rosh Hashanah, that holds just like the Mishnah. That is, you know, that's exactly Rosh Hashanah's point. He was the one who said that you were allowed to fill up the break wall, the firewall, with water so that it would eventually splish out and put out the fire. What's the problem? So this Meitevei about the Talit that you have to spread out, the Torah that's spread out, that goes according to the second opinion. But the thing about wetting a Talit down, that would go according to Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, wait, Emor Damar Rosh Hashanah is Meishu Mecharech. Garam Kibui Miyamar. Wait a second, forget about the firewall. We're just thinking right now about the Gedi, about the cloak that's going to put out the fire. So maybe by the cloak, he said that was okay because it only scalds anyway. But Garam Kibui Miyamar. So that's one thing, because there's nothing really, you're not adding to the fire because all it does is smolder out. But who says that you're allowed to, cause, even indirectly, removing of the fire? So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? So we're going to jump to the firewall case. Mikadani Seifa. Since the Seifa said, Rav Yosi Omer, B'kli Chares Chadashim Aleim Mayim Sheni Chomim Kabel Ta'or, Vein B'Bakim B'Chamet Tatalika, the only type of candle you're not allowed to use are ones that are filled with water because they're going to put out the Dalika. And since he gives a reason for it, Nechval, the Tanakama Shari. So it must be the Tanakama, which is Rosh Hashanah Bananas, and is Mutter. And so it's not only it's Mutter for the same reasons that you said it's Asher, which is I don't care if the water splashes out. So don't tell me it's just the case of the Gdi, it's the case of the firewall as well. I guess the Havamina was that the firewall was something else, or we didn't know for sure why Rav Shimon said it was okay. Maybe he didn't think it would crack at all. So the answer is no, he thinks it's going to crack. He knows it's going to crack. He just doesn't care it's going to crack, and therefore it's perfectly okay. Tana Rabbanan, new topic. Ner shal gabi tavla menaret the tavla v'hinofel v'kivda kivda. So if you have a fire which is on a board, they used to have their dinner tables, and the dinner tables have, let's say, the candles of Shabbat or whatever it was on it, and now he's got a problem because he needs the table. So he can't lift up the candles because it's muksa. So what does he do? So he takes it, he shake it, and it just falls off and goes out. It goes out. Sometimes you have that situation where, like, you have a fire on Shabbat or something, so you sort of toss the flame into the sink. You know what I mean? That is, you don't put it out. Right. You dump it in the sink because, you know, eventually it's going to hit a puddle of water and it'll right. go out. So that's essentially what they're saying here. So I'm a debate Rav Yana, that's only a case where you forgot the candles on the table. But if you specifically put the candles on the table for Shabbat, specifically on this base, this becomes a basis l'davar aser, which means not only the candles muksa, the table, the plate is also muksa, and you can't pick up the plate to shake it. In the first case, you could pick up the table because the table was not muksa because you accidentally left the candles on it. But if you purposely left the candles, let's say I know I'm lighting the candles on the table, then the thing becomes a basis l'davar aser. Of course, the Gemara doesn't get into it, but there's a way out of that, which is to make it a basis l'davar mutter also. So you put bread down or whatever it is. But the assumption is all I have here is a piece of wood that I specifically put candles on, and then I can't pick up neither the candles nor the plate, and I'm stuck, the table. Tana ner shachrei adelet. So if I've got a candle on the other side of a door, on the behind a door, poteach v'nol kedarko, you can open and close the door as you wish. V'im kivda kivden. If the fire goes out, too bad. Who cares? It's not a problem. Layit ala rav. Rav curses such a thing. Obviously, he disagrees with it in the stronger sense. So Amalei Ravina Rava Acha Bereid Rava. Ravina Rava Acha says to Bereid Rava. I'm relaying as those who say Rav Acha Bereid Rava to Rav Ashi. There was Acha Bereid Rava to Rav Ashi. Whoever it was, my time alayit alar Rav. How come Rav curses such an opening, closing the door in front of a candle? So Ilei Amishum Desavak Lak Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe because he holds like passions like Rabbi Yehuda, which is fine. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says in the Mishnah in Gemara that Melechet Machshevet is Asa. There's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you don't have intention to do something, it's still usher to, even though that's not your direction intention, you still can't do such a thing. And Rav Shimon says, no, if it's called a dini, it's mitchashev. If your plan is not to do it, like I'm allowed to drag certain wood across the bench, but even though it's going to make charis, because that wasn't it's not my intention. Rabbi Yehuda says it's usher, Rav Shimon says it's okay. So what's the problem here? If you want to say that Rav is cursing because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says you can't do such a thing, and the Tanakama holds like Rav Shimon, Yishum the Rav Sabah like Rabbi Yehuda called the Tanik Rav Shimon Mili Lai, so just because he disagrees with it, so anybody who holds like Rav Shimon is going to curse? You can't do that. He holds a valid opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda. The other guy holds a valid opinion, Rabbi Shimon. He's not going to curse somebody who disagrees with him. He can disagree with him, but cursing is something else. So Amalei Baha Afilu Rav Shimon Amar. No. In this case, even Rav Shimon agrees that you can't put a candle there. Why? The Ha Bayi v'Rav Adam Atavayu. Both Avayi and Rava say Mode Rabbi Shimon B'Psikresha V'Lo Yamud. In the case of Psikresha, Rav Shimon would agree that it's also Asher. And this is a classic halacha, right? Did you do Psikresha yet? Are you familiar with it?
No.
Psikresha is, the idea is that I should be able to shecht on Shabbat. Why right. should I be able to shecht on Shabbat? I don't want the animal to die. I don't want to eat. My machshav is not on the death or the blood of the animal. My machshav is on my dinner. I wish the animal could live. But it's a Psikresha V'Lo Yamud. That is, once you cut off the head, V'Lo Yamud, it's a rhetorical question. V'Lo Yamud is not going to die. Which means if you have a psik resha, which is if melech machshav, you do something that you're not intending an usher to happen, that's fine. But if the usher is 1,000% guaranteed to happen, then it becomes us. So the famous case that I always mention is the case of the refrigerator with the engine. If the engine is off, if the engine's on the refrigerator, you can open up the refrigerator because the engine's already on. If the engine's off, you can open up the refrigerator because your machshav is not for the engine to go on. What you can't do is you can't open up the refrigerator and leave it open for half an hour. Because if you do that, the engine's going to go on. And that becomes a melechah machshavet, but it becomes a psik resha. It becomes a din she'en bo kavana, but it becomes a psik resha she'en bo kavana. You didn't have kavana for it, but so what? I mean, you can't go beyond reason. I also heard a case by brushing one's teeth where you can brush your gums because occasionally your gums bleed. But let's say you have like a gum problem. And you know every single time you brush your teeth, you got blood coming out. So then there may be a real problem with brushing your teeth. Unless you brush it maybe in some safe way, but that you know, you guarantee. But if you're guaranteed every time you put a toothbrush in your mouth, you're going to bleed, so then it's a psikresha. You don't want yourself to bleed, so it's a din she'enbo, it's a melacha she'enbo kavana, but it's a psikresha, it's going to bleed, and you have no choice. So therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's asher. So here, too, by the case of the candle, it's a psikresha, even though it's din she'enbo kavana, it's a psikresha, Rav Shimon would agree, and that's why Rav is going to curse such a thing. Okay? Should we go on? Amar Rava, essentially we're going to repeat the same thing over and over again from a Tanaic source rather than an Amoraic source. Amar Rav Yehuda, potech adam delet keneged medur shabbat. You're allowed to open up a door next to an open flame. Layet alei abayi, so abayi curses him out. So b'mayis kina, what are we talking about? Im leva beruach mitsuya. If you're talking about a standard wind, that is not a hurricane outside. It's a nice breeze or whatever. So my time of demand aser. Why should I make it aser? It's not psik resha. There's no guarantee that this flame is going to go out. You know, I put my door with a candle there. What's the big deal? And if I got a hurricane outside or stronger than normal wind, so my time is demand the shari. So how could somebody matter such a case? And for sure, then it becomes a psikration. Once I open up the door, that candle is going to go out. So the Gemara says, no, but olam baruch mitsuya. You're really talking about a baruch mitsuya. And the problem is, mar desavar gazrina, mar desavar glo gazrina. There's a gzera that if you open the door with a candle in a regular wind, you'll come to think that it's always okay to open the door. And then on one day where it's extra windy outside, you weren't paying attention, the flame is going to go out, and you have done a melechat machshavet that's psik resha. Well, marshav alo gazrina, we don't have to worry about it, because a guy knows, when there's a hurricane blowing outside. What?
He uses his head.
Well, you know, with gzeras, you know, you're never quite sure. Sometimes gzera assumes that people are intelligent, and some gzera really assume that people are going to just, you know, the worst kind of idiots, really. You know, and I'm probably oversimplifying. It's probably an interesting, it would make an interesting study of gezeiras on people's, if I do one thing, I'll come to do another thing. It would be interesting to gather as much information as possible to see when Rabbanan, if there's a pattern, where you can see where Rabbanan goes in one case, but then not goes in another case. But that's a separate issue. Osin Mechit, my last question. Osin Mechit. So we had a case in the Mishnah where you can make a firewall. So Lememra, are you trying to tell me the Rabbanan suffer Garam Kibui Mutter? You're telling me the Rav Yossi Savar Garam Kiboy Asher. Based on the Mishnah, the Rabbanan said you're allowed to make this firewall, and Rav Yossi said you're not allowed to make this firewall because the water will crack and spread. The assumption here, I guess, is that Rabbanan agree with Ben Nanas. Vaha Ifcha Shaminale. We heard exactly the opposite. How are we doing time wise, by the way? Let's see, I can tell you exactly 33 minutes. Not bad. I'm not going too fast, am I?
No.
This is a tricky bit of Gemara. You'll see why in a second. V'ha ifcha shaminu lehu. We heard the opposite. Now, without reading ahead of the Mishnah, once you see v'ha, without reading ahead of the Gemara, I'll tell you what we would be expected to see, and we're not going to see it. If I say v'ha ifcha shaminu lehu, we heard the opposite, that means that we should have a case where Rabbanan say that you're not allowed to be gorem, And Rabbi Yossi says you are allowed to be gorim, which means he should theoretically matter a water spilling case, even though you know the water is going to spill. That's not what's going to happen right here. We're about to read a Mishnah where both sides say it's usur. You'll see. The Tznan, osin mechitza bekelim reikanim. You're allowed to make a mechitza with empty pots. Ubimaleim she'ein darkan lehishtaber. And with full pots, as long as they're not likely to break. Ve'elu maleim she'ein darkan lehishtaber. Which ones are unbreakable? Klimat achot. Ones that are made out of metal. Rav Yossi omer. Rav Yossi says, af kli kfar shiche v'kli kfar chananya ein darkan lehishtaber. You could use earthenware if they come from the city of Shechem, if they come to the city of Chananya, because these also won't break. But either way, both opinions say that you're not allowed to use a firewall if you know for sure it's going to break. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Which means this doesn't prove that. That doesn't prove that Rav Yossi says that it's okay. Rav Yossi also says it's Asher. He's just telling you that there's some earthenware that won't break. Do you follow?
Mm-hmm.
Which means, why is that an ifcha? So what Rashi says, I believe, is that it is an ifcha because Rav Yossi is more mekil. Rabbanan say only metal pots, because you know for sure they won't break. Rav Yossi says earthenware pots, because they're probably not going to break because they're from Kfar Shechem and Kfar Chananya. So what we have is Rav Yossi in a more mekil situation. Rav Yossi is not saying that it's mutter,
right,
which is what we would have expected, really, from this whole Gemara, once you say ifcha. But at least we have a case where Rav Yossi is more mekil, as opposed to when our Mishnah, Rav Yossi was more machmir. But it's not really a perfect ifcha, you see, and that's why the Gemara is very difficult. So the Gemara, and then the difficulty is going to get carried on, you'll see in a second. So the Gemara says, V'chitema ifch matzitin. So based on this difficulty, maybe we should turn around our whole Mishnah and say, Rav Yossi debraito divrehem ka'amar. Rav Yossi was speaking in the braita when he was more mekil, he was speaking in the name of the Rabbanan. Hold up, Rav Yossi debraita Lidivrei Hamkama. I think this is actually talking about the Mishnah. Hold on, let me take a look in the Rashi. We're saying we're flipping the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to have a Rabbanan saying that you're not allowed to use a firewall with water, and Rav Yossi says you are allowed to use a firewall with water. Mm-hmm. Rashi says, Dimashba Dimanhu Defak Depake Moda Daha Kfar Shechem V'Kfar Chananya Hu Dekashrei. So what he's doing is, I know how to translate this. What this means, reading that again. It says, maybe you want to say the Mishnah is backwards. Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, debraita ledivrehem kamar. He's giving the opinion of the rabbis in the braita. In the braita, Rav Yossi is more mako because he allows earthenware because it's probably not going to break. The Rabban in the Mishnah said, no, only metal. The Rabban in this braita over here said only metal. In the Mishnah, it looked like Rav Yossi was saying that you can't use earthenware. And the Rabbanu was saying that you could use earthenware. So what we're saying is, no, switch that around. In the Mishnah, Rav Yossi was actually saying that, Rav Yossi says that it's mutter to use the earthenware firewall, even though it's going to spill out water. Rabbanan say it's usser. That's we're switching around the words in the Mishnah. What about the Braita then? How come Rav Yossi says it's usser and the Braita? Rav Yossi is giving the opinion of, he's saying, even like you guys who hold that you're not allowed to use breakaware pot, I don't agree with you. Go look in my switched around Mishnah. I hold you could use an earthenware with water because I'm not problem with Gurim Kibbutz. Even though the Mishnah is written differently, we're going to switch around. We're going to say in the Mishnah of Yossi is really makel, you could use breakable earthenware water-filled pots. In this Braita, he's not really giving his own opinion. He's giving the opinion of Rabbanan. Rabbanan say no. Just like the Rabbanan said in the switched around Mishnah, this theoretical switched around Mishnah, that you're not allowed to use breakable pots that have water in them, but when Rabbanan said, what are those pots? They're metal. And then Rav Yossi is not arguing on the main position. Rav Yossi is saying, listen, I don't agree with you. You're wrong. You can use water in pots. I have no problem with Gurim Kibbutz. But even according to your opinion that you're not allowed to use breakable pots because of Gurim Kibbutz, you're still allowed to use earthenware from these two places because they're not going to break. You see how that reads?
Yeah.
So Rav Yossi in the Mishnah is more mekil, even though that's not how it's written. We turn it around. Then how come Rav Yossi is usser over here in this braita? He's not usser in this braita. He's saying, according to you, I want you to know that even if I agreed with you, I'd still disagree with you about the quality of the earthenware that's breakable, quality of the pots that's breakable. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you can't do that. You know why? Bahama Rav Bar Tachlif, the Mishmei the Rav, Mantana Garim Kibbutz Yasser, Rav Yossi. He says the Feirish. You can't turn around our Mishnah and then say that the Braita Rav Yossi is pretending to be Machmir so we could argue quality of earthenware versus metal, because Rav Tachlifta says the name of Rav, and this is Rav who says Rav Yossi says that Rav Yossi says that it's Usser. But then the question is, how come the Braita he's more Makil? If we know that he's really Usser in the Mishnah, then how come he would seem to be Makil? See, if he was more Makil in the Mishnah, I could see him playing the bad guy and pretending what kind of Machmir. But if he's really more Machmir, he's not going to come out and be more Makil in the Braita. He's not tremendously Makil because he's still disallowing it, but he's allowing some earthenware.
Well, as long as it doesn't break.
I agree. So that's the question of the whole Gemara. Why do they consider that an Ifcha? So it's a little bit of a problem. So the Gemara says, "Lo'olam lo tefach." Don't worry about it, because we're going to get out of the whole thing. The whole thing you have to switch around. Ubraita kula Rav Yossi. You want to know something? We're going to switch around the whole Braita anyway, which means we're going to avoid it. We thought the Braita was an Ifcha. I don't know why the Gemara thought it was an Ifcha, but it's now going to avoid the whole issue by saying it's not an Ifcha anyway. Why? Because the whole Braita, we thought there were two opinions in the Braita, kula and a chumra, and the kula was Rav Yossi. We say no, the whole thing's Rav Yossi. The chatsuri nefra. And the Braita has an error in it, a textual error. This is the way the Braita should read. Osin mechitza bekelim reikanim. You should make... Do I speak too fast, by the way? You okay? Osin mechitza bekelim reikanim. You're allowed to make an empty firewall, a firewall out of empty pots. Ubimaleim she'ein darkin lehishtaber. And also with full ones, as long as the pots are not likely to break. Ve'eluhin kelim she'ein darkin lehishtaber. Which are these pots that are not likely to break? There are three types. Not just one, but three. Kli matachot, metal. The kli kfar shichin, and earthenware from shichin. The kli kfar chananya, and also clean from earthenware from chananya. Nami ain dark mahashta, which means everybody agrees. Why? Shrav Yose, Amar, af kli kfar shichin, the kli kfar chananya ain dark mahashta. We thought it was machloket, where one person said metal, and Rav Yose was lightening up and saying no, also some earthenware pots. And in the end, it's all Rav Yossi, and he all says that it's Usser, and except for these ones, and not because it's likely to break, because it's as unbreakable as metal. It's like really good earthenware. And that's it. The Rami, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. But based on all this, we got a problem for Rabbanan against Rabbanan. Rami, the Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi. Now, Rabbanan are the ones who says that you are allowed to be Gorem Kibui with the breaking water. And Rav Yossi says you're not allowed to if you know that the water is going to break and put out the fire. But now I'm going to introduce something which reverses those opinions to both Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan. Ditanya, Hari Shahaya Shem Katuilo. He had the name of God written on the Shem Amfarish written on his arm, let's say, in ink. Al Basaro, on his body. Hare Zelo Yirchot, you can't wash your hands. Velo Yasuch, and you can't put on makeup or, you know, like, oils. V'lo yamo v'makam t'inofet, you can't stand in a place that has like a toilet. Nizdam alo tefila shel mitzvah, what if you have to go to a mitzvah? So korech ala ha-gami, you put some kind of, like a leaf around it, v'yorei v'tovel, and then you go down. Rabbi Yossi omer lo olam yorei v'tovel k'darko b'vach lo yishafshet. Go dip, you don't have to worry about the fact that the name of God is going to be wiped out, as long as you don't, go out of your way to scratch. Now this seems to be reversed opinions, because if the whole idea is kavana and whether you're going out of your way to do something, and the Rabbanan say when it comes to fire, you're allowed to do something even though it's going to happen automatically. But here, all the guy's doing down is going down to the mikvah. The name of God is going to get wiped out, but it wasn't your intention to do that. And yet they're making you wear this kind of glove around the name of God because they won't let it happen. That's Rav Yossi's opinion. Rav Yossi's worried about things that are going to happen even though you don't have intention. And here Rav Yossi is saying, nah, you can let it happen because you're not having intention to wipe out God's name. But over by the fire, that was not okay. That was not okay to do something that would cause... fire to go out. But here he's saying it is okay to do something, the same thing, to have the name of God to go out, so to speak. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hatam d'amar krad, over there it's different, because by the mikvah, with the wiping out the name of God, it says in the pasuk, you shall wipe out those names of the false gods from that place. Lo tasu kein l'ashem Eloheichem, but don't do that to your God. That's in this coming Aliyah. So Gemara says, so essentially what that means, Asiyahu da Aser, but Garma Shari. No, by there, since the pasuk says you can't go out and wipe out God's name, that means intentionally wipe out God's name. But if it actually gets wiped out, so you can be more lenient. That's why Rav Yossi would say that it is okay. Of course, it doesn't explain why then the Rabbana would say it's not okay, You follow?
Because you know it's going to wipe out.
Yeah, but according to this, unless you're intentionally, you know, wiping, it's not a problem. This explains why Rav Yosef is mekil here, where he was machmir by the fire. It does not explain why the Rabbanan would be machmir by the fire, but be machmir by the name of God. Because this pasuk seems to imply that you should be mekil by the name of God, even more than by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to deal with the Rabbanan yet. This is really focused on Rav Yosef. But just to keep in mind, it's really a question on Rav Yosef, not on Rabbanan. It doesn't solve the problems of Rabbanan at all, as we're going to see. The Gemara says, no, nami haki k'tiv. If you're going to learn a psukim that way, look by Shabbat, where it says, lo ta'aseh kol malacha, siwud asher gam yishav. It has the same word, asiyah, by malacha, which means I need a tent. I have to want to do something, not I just do something automatically. Grama, obviously, things that happen automatically, it's permissible. So how could Rav Yosef to be mekil over by a mikvah, because the pasuk says that, you know, it's only when you intentionally want to wipe out the name of God. I have the same word over by Shabbat. It should be only if I intentionally want to do a malacha. If I'm unintentionally doing a malacha or second-handedly doing a malacha, so that's not a problem. It should be mekil in both cases. The Gemara says, no, mitoksha adam bahu amamono isharut le'atu l'chabuya, which is amazing. Point to this, Rav Yosef says it's Rabbana. You say, you're right. Guess what? Only Grama is a problem by wiping out. Grama is not a problem by wiping out God's name. Hence, you go to a mikvah with God's name on you. And Grama is not a problem by fire, which is why you could theoretically, according to the Torah, put out a fire indirectly with the wet firewall. Why is the problem here? Because the guy is so worried about his money that he's going to lose. If I allow him to indirectly put out a fire, he'll come to directly put out a fire. And that's why there's a reason to be more machmir over by a fire on Shabbat than there is by the name of God. But what's interesting with the turnaround here is now this is Rabbanan, not a Diraita. That's a big difference. That's a tremendous difference. Even according to Rav Yosef, it's now only a Rabbanan. The Gemara says, Ihak kash Rabbanan Rabbanan. Okay, so fine. That takes care of Yosef. But if all that's true, I got a problem with Rabbanan Rabbanan. Mahatam da adam baho amamonu shari. Hachalokoshkein. Obviously, if over there and the Rabbanan know that a guy's worried about his money, but the Rabbanan say, I don't care. I'm telling you that it's okay to let guy do something begrama, that is to put things out with water indirectly. Maybe if he'll come to do it indirectly, he'll come to it directly. I'm not worried about that. Only direct actions, usher, indirect, not usher. But hakalo kolshekin, if a guy's not worried about his money here, why should Rabbanan be more machmir here than they were by Shabbat? They were not willing to make that gzeir on Shabbat that the guy's going to do grama. If a guy does grama, he'll do direct. So too here. Why are we being so machmir? If a guy's not going to do it unintentionally, he won't come to do it intentionally either. There's no financial issue here. The Gemara says, the Tisbra, you think that's why Rabbanan are making an usher? Because they're worried that you're going to wipe out the name of God? It has nothing to do with that. Hi, Gami, hey, Chidami. You know what type of Gami we're talking about? How did the whole Gami thing work? If it's covered tightly, like it's wrapped tightly around the name of God, Kamahavi Chatzitza. That would be a chatzitza anyway, so it can't be that it's a tightly wrapped gami.
Right.
Has to be a loose liat. Vilo mahadik, ali be mai. The water's going to go in and wipe the name out of God anyway. You're missing the whole point of Rabbanan. The Gemara then takes a slight detour. Chatzitza tape claim yishum dio. How can you tell me that I'm worried about a chatzitza or not worried about a chatzitza? The dio itself is a chatzitza. The Gemara says, no, balacha. It's talking about wet ink. Titania hadam, blood. Vadio and ink, vadvash and vachalav and honey and milk, yaveshim chotzim. If they're caked on you dry, then they're chotzim. But if they're wet, they're not chotzim. So I could still have a machitza problem. But mikol makom kasha, I still have a problem. You've just demonstrated to me. I mean, all you really demonstrated to me is that they may not be taught. That is that I've got a loosely tied covering. But you haven't explained to me why we need a covering, which means I still have a problem. Why would I need a covering about God's name or not God's name? It is. You haven't given me a good excuse why Rabbanan should be usher here.
To remind you not to go rabbi da.
What's that?
To remind you not to go rabbi da.
He doesn't go that way. The Gemara says something else. I'm a rabbi bar sheilo hainu time at Rabbanan. I'll tell you why Rabbanan want you to have a loose covering, not a tight covering. That has nothing to do with rubbing off or not rubbing off. The kasavar asa lamo to finish my room. You can't be in front of God's name naked. So if you don't, so you're covering up God's name, like, you know, like you're putting on a piece of clothes over God so that he doesn't see you. I remember talking to Lubavitch friends when I was a kid and being amazed. I was speaking to a woman who mentioned that she covers her hair in the house. So I said, why do you cover it with her? I said, just husband around. She said, even if my not husband, I'll cover hair in the house. I said, why? She said, because there's a picture of the Rebbe in the house. So I said, okay. I didn't want to say okay, but that's exactly what I said. But not that I'm comparing the Rebbe to God, but there's an idea that the name of God shouldn't be around you when you're naked. So Michlal, the Rebbe, so fine, it's okay, that gives an explanation. It has nothing to do with whether it'll get washed off, so I've avoided the whole problem. Rav Yossi is Mekel here, where he's not Mekel by Shabbat, because by Shabbat he's Machmer Durabanan, because I'm worried that you're so worried about the money, you'll come from unintentional doing it to intentional. Here I'm not worried about it, so intentionally wiping out God's name is Usher, but unintentionally is not a problem, for the same reason. And there was no reason to be Machmir. Now, Rabbanan, we were wondering why they were Machmir here, but Mekel there. And the answer is, they're Machmir here, but they're not Machmir because they're worried about intentional or unintentional wiping out God's name. They don't want you to be naked in front of God. The Gemara says, wait a second, you're telling me that the whole argument is, has to do with whether you should be naked in front of Hashem's name? So, Michal, the Rabbi Yoshi, Shavar Mutala Modufne Hashem Arum, you're telling me that the Rabbi Yoshi thinks it's okay for you to stand in front of the name of Hashem naked? How could it be that the argument's based on that? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, no, because Rav Yossi believes that you can put your hand on it. I put my hand on it, I go to the mikvah, cover up Hashem's name, what's the big deal? I have to go through a whole tying process. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, the Rabbanan Nami Machmir De'aleh, what, the Rabbanan couldn't think of such a thing? Rabbanan didn't know you couldn't put your hand around it? So why would they be asked or something? If Rav Yossi says you can put your hand on it, why wouldn't the Rabbanan agree? So the Gemara says, no, because Rabbanan feels in the Mishtali V'Shakile. Sometimes you forget Mishtali. The shakli, you take your hand off. I don't know. Yeah, you want to scratch your head, and all of a sudden, there I am. I'm in the mikvah. So the Gemara, what's the obvious question? Rav Yossi Nami is in the Mishtal of Shakli. Why, Rav Yossi never forgets such a thing. He ties his hand onto his arm. I mean, he never believes that such a thing is possible. So Ella E to E. So you're right. The truth is, Rav Yossi paskins just like the Rabbanan that you need to cover up Hashem's name. That's not what the machloket of this whole thing is in. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to stand in front of Hashem's naked. Everybody says that your hand's not enough because you may come to rub your hand. But ela e de ika gami hachinami ela e de ika gami hachinami hachamai eskim lahadure agami. But what? So ela e de ika gami. But in a case where you have e de ika gami, where you have a gami covering hachinami, right? Rav Yossi would agree. Go use the gami. But this is what the whole machloket is about. What if I'm in the mikvah? I go to the mikvah, and I'm about to get in. I take off my shirt, and there I forgot I wrote the name of God across my, across my shoulders or whatever it was. It's kind of strange, The whole thing is a little bit. You can imagine. I can imagine those scenarios. Read about the sex. The Dead Sea Scrolls, and I mean they were pretty crazy, but. People got very, like Naziris. People did things like wrote Hashem's name on themselves. Mm-hmm. The truth is, there's even there's a pasuk like that. Katuv. We have we always assume they're metaphoric. The name of God written on my, yeah. So we always assume that it's metaphoric. But I think that sometimes people, went the extra mile, so to speak.
Well, Graham don't do it for nothing.
What's that? They didn't make it up for nothing, right? I think there's an essence to it. Ah, you would think a guy who's willing to do something like this wouldn't care about halacha anyway. So that's why I think it's not just a case of crazy. I think sometimes you can really just go the extra mile. If I want to write the name of Hashem on me, I guess I can. Yeah. I guess there's no specific issue to do so, but I'm not so sure. So hakamayaskin, laduri agami. What if I'm already there and I find out the name of God? Do I have to go out of my way to get something to cover it up? Rabbanan sabre tfila bizman alav mitzvah. Rabbanan hold that the minute that you have to go to there's a big machloket. If I have to go to a mikvah, do I have to go right now, or can I wait a day? Mm-hmm. Can I wait a day, or 2 days, or 5 days? And let's say I want to be tummy. What's the big deal? Who says I don't have to be tummy if I don't want to be tummy? Rabbanan shavit tefila b'zman alo mitzvah. I can go to a mikvah anytime I want. Since you can go to the mikvah anytime you want, you have all the time on your hands. Mahadrinam, so go find yourself a gami and do it the right way. But Rav Yossi Shavar Tefila Bizmana Mitzvah, Rav Yossi Shavar figures that the minute that you have to do tefillah, you really have to do tefillah at that minute. And therefore, if you're standing around in the mikvah about to do tefillah, you can't say, I'm going to go and find a gami and come back in half an hour. You can't do that. It's more important to do the mikvah as immediately as possible. And therefore, lo mahadrin, and therefore you don't go. We actually had a case like this a little bit in Brachot. Do you remember where a case was to wash our hands, and there was a big machloket, to wipe them off on dirt or something, or rocks? And the Gemara says you could go, but you can only go a kilometer, because if you do more than that, you'll miss, you'll be choshek to miss Zman Tefila. It's a similar case to here. Since I think Rav Yossi feels that you really have to do the mitzvah right away, you can't push it. You can't be pushing it off to find a gami. Ah, what about Hashem's name? Okay, but you don't really have... okay, so you put your hand on it. You have to weigh one evil against another evil. V'sava Rav Yosef tefillah b'zman ha-mitzvah. Are you telling me, Rav Yosef? All this, of course, is predicate now on the fact that Rav Yosef says that in a case where you don't have a gami, you can't go after it because you have to do tefillah right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that so? The Savar of Yosef Tefillah B'Zman HaMitzvah, who says that Rav Yosef says that you have to do it right away? Hatanya, didn't I learn in a Mishnah or a Braita, Hazav, somebody who has an emission, Vazava, a woman who has like a gonorrhea type of emission, Vamitzorah, and someone who had Mitzorah, Vamitzorat, Boel Nida, somebody who sleeps with a woman who is in Nida, so a person who sleeps with a Nida is Tamei for 7 days and then he has to go to the Mikvah. So Tamei Mate, and somebody who would touch a dead person, Tvilatam B'Yom, in all these cases they go and have a tefillah during the day. Nida violeta tefillah tamalayla, but a nida and a woman who gave birth, their tefillah is at night. Balkeri, what about a balkeri, which is like the lowest form of tumah, because it's just a seminal emission. So tovel the whole of kola yom kulo. He's got the whole day to do it. Rav Yosi Omer mina mincha lamala. No, if he was a balkeri in the afternoon already, he doesn't have to go right away. He can wait till tomorrow. As if you woke up in the morning and you were balkeri, you got a whole day. But if it's mincha, I guess this Rav Yosi is saying that it's so difficult between, you know, I took a nap in the afternoon and I woke up and all of a sudden I'm balkeri. Or a man and a wife got together and they're balkeri. So since it's so close to the end of the day, you don't have much time anyway, so don't sweat it out. You can go the next day. So that would seem to imply that Rav Yosi does not say that you have to go right away. So the Gemara, I was expecting a different answer to the Gemara. I'll give you the answer to the Gemara in a second. I was expecting the Gemara to say that it's different because tefillah by a balkeri is derabbanan. I thought tefillah by a balkeri is derabbanan. Didn't we learn that it was only shloshim lugim? Do you remember? And there was this whole thing about whether you go into these showers and they didn't want to tell anybody about the showers because then people... And in the end, we learned that you weren't allowed to teach Torah when you were a balkeri, but you were allowed to... There were all kinds of things. I was expecting that answer, but the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara gives a totally different answer. Ahi Rav Yosi bar Yehudahi. That's not the same Rav Yosi. That is the Rav Yosi who says that you don't have to go. That is if it was our Rav Yosi who was arguing with the Rabbanan in the case of going to a mikvah with God's name, and he would have told you that you have to go right away if you're a balkeri. But this is different. Damar Dayov Tfilo Ba'achrona. Because this Rav Yosi bar Yehuda specifically said that it is enough for a woman to have the last mikvah. What that's talking about is, what if a woman has nida and she also has like the zav, and she also has like, she has three different tefillahs. So she does, and one's due in one day and the nida's due in 5 days. She could hang out till the last one. She doesn't have to go three different ones. She does one, and the one covers all possible cases as long as the last one. So it's a different Rav Yosi, and therefore it's not a problem. And that's the Gemara all the way up to the Mishnah.
Starting next week,
I'll be doing, but the question is when. I give a shiur. I'm off because the times don't work out, right?
September,
right?
You have another shiur Wednesday night.
Yeah, I have a shiur Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, so unless you want to do this at 9 o'clock.
I asked Rabbi Zuckler, and he said at least two, maybe three Shabbat in Wednesdays, he won't be in.
Oh, he won't be in.
So I asked Rabbi Lightstone, he said he didn't think there would be any problem.
Oh, okay.
He's going to be here anyway.
All right, well, if he's better than I am, then maybe he could...